Welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, guys. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. You might hear it in my voice, my energy. I'm so excited for what we're going to talk about today and have been for weeks. I know a few weeks ago I mentioned that I was going to do a show based on the theme of ascension, of growth, of realizing where we are and how much we've changed. And today is the day. So before I begin, I just want to remind you that just about a week from now, when this podcast is dropping, is going to be the 3-hour live workshop I'm doing on an inner child deep dive. There's only a handful of spots left, but if you're hearing this, you might have time to sign up. Go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com, click on the resources tab or the retreats tab. You can sign up there, or you can hop over to my Instagram at Nicole Sachs LCSW, and there is a link in my Instagram bio. It'll be recorded. You can keep it forever. It's November 5th at 12 Eastern. And so I just wanted to make sure to mention that. Because honestly, inner child work is such a huge part of knowing where you are, healing, and moving toward ascension, which is exactly what we're talking about today. Okay, so ascension, such a fantastic word. And I realize that this word needs some unpacking because it carries different meanings for us all. The way in which I'm using it is based on an image that I'd like to leave you with in the end, one that you've heard me talk about before, but today we're going to really flesh it out. It's one that helps me visualize something that is really only experienced internally. I find that an image or a visualization is a great tool for getting outside of yourself. And this one is meant to be used to gain perspective. So when you find yourself in those dark rooms, you can notice it and have a little hack for turning on that light of awareness. And that's what I'm really here to help you do. I'm sharing with you some tools I've developed to take ourselves out of limiting beliefs and pattern responses and into this place of agency, mindfulness, belief, and greater perspective. It's what we're doing here. It's the whole point. So let's talk about what it feels like when we don't see life through the lens of ascension. And trust me, I know those moments, and they're hard. They're really stuck moments when we're not seeing ourselves as making progress. Most people envision time linearly. You know, we move through our lives executing tasks, checking off calendared meetings and events, and going through the motions of what it's like to be ourselves in the world. We've all been there. I certainly have. Our default setting is this trance-like state of forward motion, which sets us up to expect a form of progress that's not really real or true. Like, if you guys will remember a few weeks ago, my episode on mortality this summer was a deep dive into the tyranny of time and the impossible conflicts it creates. Today, though, I want to challenge us to see time and progress through a new lens. I want to replace this singular view of linear time because it traps us in a habit of unawareness with an image and a metaphor that I find is a much better description of what is really happening. One that also allows us to notice how we are actually growing and changing over time, even when it doesn't always appear that way. So key, we don't always see our progress. And this is a way to remember that we are growing and changing. Okay, so remember last week when I set up the interview with Lisa Rinna, I cautioned us to interrogate surface appearances because authenticity and truth are what we excavate through our journal speak and our commitment to stay awake and aware. You guys, we should never fall for or settle for appearances. We are intrepid truth seekers. We must always be warriors for authenticity because, as you know, the people we hurt when we give up and go on autopilot, distracting, resisting, making excuses and repeating our patterns are, ding, 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 ourselves. And if we've learned anything here in this podcast and in all our conversations, it's that our nervous systems will take over the moment we operate in the dark. They seek to protect us. And sometimes that protection does not look like what you think protection should look like. Sometimes that protection is a migraine or a back spasm or an irritable bowel flare-up. And that's what we're trying to avoid. So today we're going to listen to two incredible shares I received over SpeakPipe. And when you listen, I want you to envision ascension, and here's our image, as climbing concentric circles up and around a mountain. You've heard me say this before. Our life path might be climbing a mountain, but it's not climbing a mountain from the base to the top straight up or with rock climbing equipment around us. That's not human life. We are ascending as climbing concentric circles. Picture this as I'm talking, up and around a mountain, like a corkscrew going up and up. And each time you're in one of those circles, it's smaller than the wider circle beneath you. We are ascending a mountain. So this path is not direct, but neither is our experienced life. When we live and experience life, it is not a direct path anywhere. We're living. We don't move forward, progress, or change, or grow linearly. And it's so important to recognize this because our default setting is to believe that we do. And I hear it from you guys all the time, and you're going to hear it in SpeakPipe today. Our lessons are not learned once. In fact, I can't think of many instances or anything that is ever one and done, even though I know I've wanted to, and so do you. Sometimes it's just not the way. We have to live in what is. True learning happens over time with setbacks and course corrections. We must encounter situations again and again in slightly different forms before we start recognizing patterns and tuning our responses. And I know if you're listening, you can look back on your life and your experiences and know this to be true. Learning happens when we are awake and aware and engaged and present. When we show up, we grow up and take responsibility for our reactions. I'm going to read you a little poem later that beautifully illustrates this concept, but for now, just visualize the mountain. Climbing up in concentric circles, up and around. Because while it might look familiar, and while you might say to yourself in frustration, how can I be here again, right where I started? How can my back pain from my 20s be with me again? I thought it was over. I passed that miles ago and years ago. You might find yourself in that rut. And I want to tell you to summon this image of the mountain and the circles and turn around. Look back and down and take note that you've actually come up and around and you are, in fact, ascending. So let's listen to this SpeakPipe from Shannon and talk on the other side.
Hi. You are free to use this on air. I just wanted to say hello, Nicole. My name is Shannon. I have been practicing journal speak for about 6 weeks now. I have been suffering from chronic pain for about 2 years. I've been familiar with John Sarno's work for years, and in my early 20s, got really into reading his books and really absorbing his work and working with a really amazing osteopath who helped me a ton. But since that time, I have stopped seeing him just because life has gotten in the way. I'm the mother of two kids. And in that time, right about when the pandemic hit and as the world shut down, right around that time, I had a really intense conflict with a family member. So with the pandemic and this intense conflict, it kind of put me into a tailspin. I had some pretty severe depression. I And then the pain that I had experienced in my early 20s started to come back. And I was terrified. I suffered through it silently. Tried some therapy with a trusted counselor. It helped, but it didn't help the pain. So I just wanted you to know that since I've found your work and I've been able to practice journal speak, that today I had a massive revelation, and it was that behind the depression, behind the lower back pain, is something a lot deeper, and I hadn't allowed myself to think about it, and it came out today in journal speak, that both of these things exist to protect me from the deep anger that I have, that I've been pushing down for decades, and that the conflict with this family member kind of triggered it to resurface. And so the depression and the pain has been covering it up for me. But I want you to know that your work and your podcasts have been helping me so much, that just the concept of having awareness of our internal talk, that has been a game changer for me. And I want to say that you inspire me, you console me, and you reassure me that even though the pain that I experience is real, I don't have to be afraid of it. And I don't have to let it control me. And even if I do have moments where my brain says, oh, this is too much, it hurts too badly, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you should probably just lay down, I can say to it, okay, I hear you. I feel that. I feel that pain. But it doesn't have to hold me back. So thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for helping me and so many of us get to the issues behind our pain. And I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Oh my God, hand to heart, Shannon, thank you. I could not have done a better job of illustrating how this work actually plays out once you've been at it long enough to deeply embody its lessons. Shannon's journal speak led to what she calls a massive revelation, that behind her depression, behind her chronic pain, lay something deeper. That her pressure and pain were actually protecting her from the deep anger she was pushing down and repressing for decades. Shannon says it all as well as I ever could. She literally calls out that just the concept of awareness of this internal process has been a game changer. You guys, I cannot tell you what it does to me to hear these stories. I never get enough of them. And I don't think you could ever hear enough of them, because this work is absolutely predicated on the notion of belief. You are hearing from people just like you who have struggled to overcome the fear and meaning they've assigned to their experience. And you've heard me over and over again share that struggle with you. These people we hear from and the space we share with people, it's so amazing, because these people have earned their way to surrender and belief. And so have I, and so have you. And I know that earning doesn't always feel good, but this is the way it works. So let's just talk about belief for a moment, because it's so powerful. Belief is the gatekeeper to progress. Let's remember, there are three facets of my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. And belief is the prerequisite for putting an end to what was in favor of what's next. It's an end to all the conflicting approaches and the dead-end hunt for an expert's cure, giving our power away, and the resistance we experience to taking the reins and doing this work, to going into those dark rooms again and again, until it becomes so obvious to you to turn on the light. And let's also remember that belief is what calms the nervous system and helps it move into rest and repair, allowing this work to take hold. The rooms are a fact. Conflict is a fact. Time and pain and mortality, all facts. But what you choose to see and the way you frame what you see and the perspective you get as you zoom out on the picture, that is all on you. With these tools, it becomes up to you, which is so great. And I always need to mention here that when I say something is up to you, that's excellent. That's great news because now we have power. We're not giving it away anymore. We can do this. And as we do this, and your body continues to be your proof again and again, I invite you to zoom in on your mountain with its concentric circles and see that you are changing. You are moving. You're not just having the same pain experience. You're not lost in it anymore. You are not lost in your story or trapped in your pattern. With belief, you can cultivate an intrepid commitment to awareness. And then you can begin to see how all of this works. You can live where I live, that there's no cure for the human condition. This is what we're here for, guys, to live and to feel. But there is a cure for chronic pain because chronic pain is an epidemic of fear and meaning. And that's what we're doing here together. The moment the voice in your head says, I'm right back where I started, and I know you go there, and I have gone there before, back in the day, before I really got this and it landed for me, I want you to picture your mountain and turn around and look back and down. Just put your feet on that path. Look down at your feet. Say, here is where I am. See that gravel or that mud trail or whatever you want to do to envision your mountain. And then I want you to turn around and look back and down at the larger concentric circle beneath you. Because what may look familiar to you or feel familiar to you is actually two rungs below you. You are changing. Okay, so I want to share a poem with you that appears in my book, The Meaning of Truth. And by the way, for all of you guys who have written me, I'm so sorry it's taken this long. It took a lot of effort and work. There was a formatting and a font issue that Amazon flagged. They took my book off the paperback shelf, and I have done the work and corrected it and re-uploaded it and is back available on Amazon, The Meaning of Truth. So for those of you who have been looking for it, it is the paperback version is back and available. Just search my name or search The Meaning of Truth on Amazon. You can get it. Okay, so here's the poem I want to share with you that I love that is reprinted in my book. And the name of the poem is Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters by Portia Nelson. And it is such a beautiful companion for this talk about ascension. Okay, Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There is a deep hole in my sidewalk. I fall in. I am lost. I am helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk, and I still don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place. It isn't my fault. It still takes me a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it there. I still fall in. It's habit. It's my fault. I know where I am. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There is a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. And Chapter 5. I walk down a different street. Guys! Oh, that poem kills me every time. To me, it speaks to the idea that we learn our lessons when we do. Time and progress happen, but not always in a way that feels like cause and effect or like we're checking things off our lists. We don't always notice differences, and we often fall for appearances until we ever so gradually become aware, allowing ourselves to tune our responses until we train ourselves to properly run the maze. And that's when we start avoiding the same dead ends or holes in the sidewalk. It's just the way it goes. Just remember, the lesson is never in the symptom, in its remission, or in its reappearance. The lesson is in the meaning we give it and how our responses evolve over time. And that's when we learn to wear it more loosely. Okay, so for our second speak pipe, I want to share one more story that showed up. It's McKenna. And it's such a deeply human, relatable, and inspiring illustration of ascension. And I'll just leave it there and we'll talk on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. I just finished my journal speak. I'm doing the 28-day challenge with you. And, well, I've already left you a message on SpeakPipe, and I'll probably leave more, but as I was writing this during my journal speak, I was like, oh, I gotta tell Nicole about this realization I had. So here we go. So I was remembering a time when I felt so embarrassed and, yeah, ashamed in a situation that I pretended I felt sick and pretended I have a migraine. I had a migraine so that I could literally physically leave the situation. I basically was asked to help judge a debate tournament in a language that is not my first language. And while my friends knew that I could speak that language in social settings with them because they were native speakers, I had never judged a debate competition in that language. And when these debaters started talking so quickly with highly academic lingo, I just got completely lost, and I felt I could not judge who was better at all because I could barely understand what was going on. And I just sort of chose a winner. And then when everyone seemed quite upset by my choice, and I thought, oh God, maybe I shouldn't have even chosen someone because I couldn't understand what they're saying, and maybe I've judged this all wrong, I kind of fled the room and said that I started feeling sick. And then I just had this, because I was reflecting on my journal speak, of times that I had felt just like utter shame or embarrassment. And then I thought, wow, that is basically what the nervous system is doing. But in this instance, it was actually a conscious thought of shame and embarrassment. So I could respond consciously using my mind. But I was aware of it. So I made the decision to pretend to be sick. But when it's subconscious, when I'm not aware of these feelings that I've pushed down, my nervous system has to react by actually giving me the symptoms so that I stay safe and get out of that dangerous situation. Quote unquote dangerous. But anyways, I really had a light bulb moment with that. I guess feel free to use this. I doubt you will, but I just wanted to share it with you. So that is my speak pipe for now, and I'll probably leave more for you. Thank you for everything you do. Let's keep it up for these 28 days, and thank you for doing it along with us, and thanks for working through not thank you for working through your pain, but thank you for sharing how you've been working through your own pain. That has been really helpful to hear. So thank you, sending love, and that's all for me.
I love this because it's such an unexpected and funny way to learn the lesson of how we protect ourselves, keeping us safe in the unsafest way. McKenna realized she didn't need her migraine anymore. The irony is that she learned this through a public embarrassment in which she had to consciously lie and excuse herself from a situation that would normally have involved an unconscious process, where her nervous system would have created the migraine as an excuse in the form of, pain to get her out of something. It's just so funny because some lessons really come in unexpected packages. And I love that, by the way. I love to be surprised. But the result is something that McKenna can take with her. Now that she has the light of awareness that comes from her work and walking the path and her circles up the mountain, and she can see how this process works, she can choose, perhaps, to draw a literal boundary next time and say, you know what? I'm not going to put myself in a situation I don't belong in. And this is ascension. McKenna realized she didn't need her migraine. She didn't need to use a symptom she'd been using for years. You know, both McKenna and Shannon are coming to conclusions as they walk the path up and around their mountains. And these conclusions are naturally derived from walking this path with the tools. What we're doing here, everything we talk about. Allow, name, stay, and then you will naturally release. And as you do, the more times you go around, you will witness your own ascension. You'll go from abject terror where you can't see out, where you've fallen in the hole in the sidewalk and you can't get yourself out. You'll start there, but you will turn on the light and see where you are, and you will use your journal speak to see the hole for what it is and where it goes, and you will dig yourself out. And this will happen again and again, but each time you'll more quickly see where you are and what it's made of. And we've all been there. And even today, no matter where you find yourself, I know you can look back and see. If you picture 6 months ago, a year ago, and picture yourself today, you know you're changing. I believe you are changing. And then your body becomes your proof and your barometer that lets you know that you can look inside when you need to. You can turn around and look down to mark your progress. And then your belief will deepen in these moments, and you will learn to wear discomfort like a looser garment. I know how hard it is to be uncomfortable. I am not a fan of discomfort. Actually, like, I'm a super baby sometimes when it comes to being uncomfortable, but I've been getting this more and more in my own life. The point of this work is we want to allow for movement. Let's redefine success for a moment, okay? Success is simply movement. It involves transforming fear and desperation and the mistaken perception that you're treading the same ground over and over in favor of a wider lens that lets in more light and more truth. You'll start to flow in and out of these moments, these cycles, and see them for what they are, as concentric circles that lead you up your mountain and to your highest version. Okay, so as we wrap this up, I want to share one of my favorite poems from Rumi. Nothing like Rumi. You know, Rumi, if you don't know of him, was, it was the 12th century or 13th century. He was a mystic poet. And every time I think I thought of something or created something or had some great new idea, I stumble across a Rumi poem that basically says the exact same thing. And it's amazing and hilarious and humbling because there are no new ideas. There are just new ways to teach them, and everything true is the same. And so this is one of my favorite poems, and it's called Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whomever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Oh, I love that. This is such a prescient metaphor for everything we've just discussed and for the work we're doing together. We don't control or choose what visits us. We can only decide how we greet it, how we manage it, the lens through which we see it, and how we want to show up as the host. All manner of guests will visit. We know this. The dark thoughts, the shame, the malice, and of course, also the joy, the laughter, the expansion. It's all here. And thank God, by the way, without the shame and the malice, we would not understand the gorgeousness of the joy and the laughter and the expansion. And it's just true. Hate to be Pollyanna, but it's just true. They all have to come through the same door, guys. We can only prepare ourselves for what is next. We cannot decide what we encounter. Prepare not for the path, but ourselves for the path. And isn't that really safety in the safest way? We prepare ourselves. We do the work inside. And then whatever comes, we can handle. Our work is in the framing, in the perspective, in the turning around and the noticing. Our lessons will be unexpected, just like the pain. But allow it all in the room with you and turn on the light. It may feel like a lot. But if you're willing to flow in and out of the stickiness and keep your eye on the biggest picture, you will grab hold of your life and climb that mountain up and around, earning your degrees and building your mastery as you ascend. Just remember the mountains and the circles and be grateful for whomever comes, because they have been sent as a guide from beyond. My God, I love talking about this. I could talk about this forever, but I think I've said enough. I think I've laid it down, and I hope you can pick it up. So as we move forward this fall and into the winter, please send me your speak pipes. Check in with me. Share yourselves with me. Do you have a great ascension story? Let me know. Or if you're struggling with something, let me know. Let's just be together. It's so important. And everything that you're doing is helping me always build out what's next for me to bring to you. It all matters. All right, my loves. Well, remember, if you're enjoying this podcast, please go over to iTunes and rate and review it. I read every one of your reviews. I post them on my Instagram story. It inspires other people. It helps people find the podcast. So important. And remember, if you want to study with me live, virtually live, next Sunday, November 5th, we will be doing an Inner Child Deep Dive, a 3-hour workshop, 12 to 3 Eastern. It will be recorded so you can keep it no matter what your time zone. You'll have it forever. We're going to be meditating together, writing together, talking together, sharing. I'm going to be teaching the inner child work that is totally unique to me. And it is so impactful. And I'm so excited to share it with you. Not much space is available, but if you want to come, please go over to my website, The Cure for Chronic Pain, click on the retreats tab and join us. All right, my loves, it's been so great to be with you. I love this topic. I hope you got something out of it. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.